Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower, for everything flowers from within of self-blessing, though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on the brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch, it is lovely, until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. Galway Kinnell. To reteach a thing its loveliness is the nature of metta. Through loving kindness, everyone and everything can flower again from within. When we recover knowledge of our own loveliness and that of others, self-blessing happens naturally and beautifully. Metta, which can be translated from Pali as love or loving kindness, is the first of the Brahmaviharas, the heavenly abodes. The others, compassion, sympathetic or appreciative joy, and equanimity, grow out of metta, which supports and extends these states. Good evening again, everyone, and welcome again. As I mentioned at the beginning, I want to talk just a little bit this evening about this quality, this bodhisattva quality of metta, or loving kindness, or love. And I want to do something, as I had mentioned earlier, something a little bit different, in that I want to give a slightly shorter talk on this quality of metta, and then I'd like to, after the talk, I'd like to lead a guided metta meditation. This is not zazen. Metta meditation is a different form of meditation, but a beautiful form of meditation, and one that I feel anyone and everyone can incorporate into their personal meditation practice. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about metta today because I feel that it is a quality that is so desperately needed in the world today. Loving kindness, love, is so needed in the world today. And of course, it doesn't escape me that I'm offering this talk today on September 11th. This is the 23rd anniversary since the September 11th, 2001 attacks. An occasion of a tragic event that occurred 23 years ago today. And while I would love to say that we've come a long way since 2001, since the 9/11 attacks, the reality, I think we all know, is that the horrors of this world continue. We continue to see more and more violence. We continue to see genocide. We continue to see attacks. We continue to see hatred. Just last Wednesday, a mere hours before Sensei Emyo delivered his talk last Wednesday evening, yet another shooting by a 14-year-old boy. Several were killed, several were injured, and we continue to ask why, how. How does this happen? Why does this happen? And so I come back to metta, to loving kindness, to the cultivation of this quality of loving kindness in our lives and in the world. And I think that when we think about the current state of the world and we think about our own country, our own society, perhaps there is nothing that is needed more during these times than loving kindness and compassion. Now, in Buddhist practice, there are many suttas or sutras, and you'll hear me use those words interchangeably. Sutta, which is the Pali word, sutra, which is the Sanskrit word. But they are essentially, both words mean the same thing. They are discourses, they are teachings of the Buddha, writings that express the teachings of the Buddha. And so in Buddhism, we talk about and we study many different suttas or sutras. And In Zen, we of course, some of the primary suttas are the wisdom suttas, the Parinirvana sutras, the Prajnaparamita sutras, the wisdom sutras. These include the Heart Sutra, which we chanted just moments ago, the Diamond Sutra, Huineng's Platform Sutra. But we also have many other sutras that we talk about in Zen, the Lotus Sutra, the Lankavatara Sutra, the Vimalakirti Sutra, the Avatamsaka Sutra, the Mountains and Rivers Sutra, and so many more. But one of my favorite suttas for a very long time has been the Metta Sutta. And I love this sutta both for how it simply and beautifully conveys the heart, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, as well as for its unending and eternal relevance to this precious life. The Metta Sutta, when you hear it, it is always relevant to this world, to this life, to this society, no matter where we are. It is always relevant. It is eternal in its wisdom. And this evening, I'd like to share this beautiful sutra. And I think that if we listen to it deeply, if we listen to the words of this sutra very deeply and consider them very carefully, we can truly appreciate the importance and the relevance of this teaching, even today and always. And so I'd like to first share the Metta Sutta. This is what should be done by those who are skilled in goodness and who know the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short, or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born. May all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upward to the skies and downward to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. And this is such a beautiful, beautiful sutra. And although it's not typically regarded as a foundational sutra necessarily in Zen, I believe it's truly foundational to all Buddhist practice because it contains the foundations, it contains the essence of the Buddhist teaching. And many or perhaps most Buddhist schools or sects, especially perhaps here in the West, include some form of metta or loving kindness, some form of metta or loving kindness meditation in their practices. And over the years, as Zen has spread, and again, perhaps especially here in the West, I have seen many Zen centers, many Zen communities and Zen monasteries and practices teaching and incorporating the Metta Sutta into its core teachings, and even teaching some form of metta meditation. And one of my favorite Buddhist teachings, or Bodhisattva practices, one that I've talked about in the past, one that I will talk about again in the future, is the four Brahmaviharas, the four immeasurable minds, these four heavenly abodes, these four minds of a bodhisattva. Metta, not coincidentally, metta or loving kindness is the first of the four Brahma Viharas, followed by compassion, which is born from loving kindness, from metta. It is said that compassion is what occurs, what arises when metta or loving kindness encounters suffering. This is how compassion arises within us. And so compassion is born from metta or loving kindness. And loving kindness is often said to be the basis or the foundation of all our practices of compassion, of sympathetic joy, of equanimity, of all the Brahma Viharas. And since the very beginning of my practice, and I was sharing this with Sensei Emio earlier, since the beginning of my own practice, I have always returned to the Metta Sutta. This is one of the first suttas that I learned, and Metta meditation was one of the first forms of meditation that I learned. And so I have always returned to the Metta Sutta for guidance, for inspiration, and as a source of renewing my own bodhisattva intention or aspiration. And I have always included metta meditation into my personal meditation practices, although of course Zazen is the foundation of my meditation practice. It is our primary form of meditation. But I like to sometimes bring metta meditation into my personal practice because it helps me really to reconnect, I feel. It helps me to reconnect with that basic innate kindness and compassion that I believe is within me and that I believe is within each and every one of us. It is innately within each of us. My teacher used to love to quote Thomas Merton, a quote of Thomas Merton's, "Love is my true identity. Selflessness is my true self. Love is my true character. Love is my name." And Thomas Merton also wrote that love is our true destiny. We do not find the meaning of life by ourselves alone. We find it with another. And this is what the late Venerable Zen Master Thich Nhat Hanh devoted so much of his life teaching to. That teaching of interbeing, that we inter are, he would say. We inter are with one another. And so we find meaning in this short, precious life through loving kindness, through this quality of love. We find love or loving kindness in this short, precious life with and through others and with and through the world around us. Now, many Buddhist scholars and many Buddhist traditions have said that along with the practice of mindfulness, the four foundations of mindfulness, the practice of metta or loving kindness was really one of the earliest practices taught by the historical Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha. And in fact, metta existed before the Buddha. Metta was already a teaching and a practice in the ancient Indian traditions, the Hindu traditions, and it is contained in the Upanishads, which are some of the greatest and oldest spiritual writings in existence. So metta was a practice that already existed even before the Buddha's enlightenment, and the Buddha embraced this teaching of metta, of loving kindness, into his own teachings. And some have argued that perhaps metta or loving kindness is not specifically stated or included in the Noble Eightfold Path. They say you don't see love or loving kindness in the Noble Eightfold Path. But I would argue that while perhaps it's not explicitly stated in the Noble Eightfold Path, love or loving kindness is included in the entirety of the Noble Eightfold Path. And especially it is seen in the second aspect, that of right thinking or right intention, right aspiration. And I would say that all of the aspects, all eight aspects of the Noble Eightfold Path are practices that are in fact rooted in love, in kindness, and in compassion. So I feel that it's incorrect to say that loving kindness is not a part of the Noble Eightfold Path. The path is rooted in loving kindness. And loving kindness is a quality of the heart and the mind. And as such, we can cultivate it, we can nurture it, we can strengthen it within ourselves through our practice. And it's often said that the Buddha himself often taught loving kindness in his early teachings as an antidote to fear and anxiety. And so metta is really an antidote to the fear that arises within us because of the three poisons of greed, anger, and ignorance, which are also often referred to as attachment, hatred, and delusion. The delusion of separation that causes so much of the greed, the hatred, the anger in the world. And so loving kindness then really helps us to see beyond those dualities and beyond those delusions of separation and to see our connection and our interbeing. Because loving kindness is about connection. It is about connection with others. Metta is really the realization of our own deepest wish for happiness, for kindness, for compassion and well-being. And simultaneously, it is the realization that all beings share that exact same deepest wish and desire for happiness, for compassion, for well-being. And there are those, once again, who feel that perhaps metta is not really a part of Zen practice. There are those who might argue that metta is not a Zen practice. But to say that metta or loving kindness is not really a part of Zen practice, or worse, even worse, to be put off by talk of loving kindness and compassion, for me, that's really to miss a large part of this incomparable and profound Dharma. It is truly to miss the mark. It is because to study the self, as Dogen said, to study the self, to know the self, to forget the self, and to become intimate with the 10,000 things. This is to truly understand and actualize loving kindness and compassion in the world. It is to realize our connection, our larger self, how we are connected with all beings and with everything. It is to see ourself in others, to see myself in others, and to see others in myself. And it is to see beyond the small self, this limited, narrow, egoic self, and to realize the truth of our much larger self, to realize the truth of our connection. And so metta, or loving kindness, and really the entirety of the path is about that connection. It is about realizing our connection to one another. It is about realizing our connection to all of life. To move beyond and to transform ignorance and delusion is to realize the wisdom of this connection, this interconnection, this interbeing. It is to understand, to have right view or right understanding of what brings joy, what brings contentment, peace, and love to our lives, and to then extend those very things to others. To understand what brings us joy, what brings us peace, what brings compassion and happiness to our lives, kindness to our lives, and to then extend that to others. The first of our four great bodhisattva vows says, however innumerable all beings are. And some translations say, I vow to liberate them all. Some translations say, I vow to save them all. But in our translation, we say, I vow to love them all. I vow to love them all. Because each one of us can bring loving kindness and compassion to as wide a circle as possible. And this circle, of course, includes ourselves. Loving kindness is an immeasurable bodhisattva quality. There truly is no limit to how much love we can bring forth and to give to others. There is no limit to how far our loving kindness and our compassion can reach, and we are never apart from it. We will never run out of it. It is not a quality that we can exhaust or run out of. Because metta, ultimately, is the heartfelt wish for the happiness and well-being of others. Loving kindness can be limitless, but we should remember always that love or loving kindness is an action. It is a practice. It is something that we must do, that we must practice in our lives, that we must bring forth and actualize or make it real in the world. In the book The Mastery of Love, Don Miguel Ruiz says, "The only way to master love is to practice love. You don't need to justify your love. You don't need to explain your love. You just need to practice your love." This, for me, is what the world needs more and more of, especially in these dark and difficult times. More and more people who are committed to practicing, to sharing, to giving love, kindness, and compassion to others. And again, to remember always that love is an action. Love is not passive. It isn't something that it's something that we actualize or we bring forth. It is a practice, and it is a continuous practice in our lives. And it's very important when we hear this word love or loving kindness, it's important for us to understand that love or loving kindness from a Buddhist perspective is not that romantic or sentimental love that we often think about. When we hear the words love or loving kindness, we tend to automatically go to the romantic, sentimental type of love, but this is not the loving kindness, the metta that we speak of in Buddhist practice. Dr. Martin Luther King once in a talk, he shared the Greek word agape. Agape is one of three Greek words for love, but each one really characterizes a different type of love. One word, eros, means more of the passion, that kind of love, that passionate love, more of that romantic and passionate love. Another Greek word, I believe it's philia, means more of the love of friendship. It is people that we like, we tend to love those that we like because it is that love of friendship. But agape is something much bigger. It is something much wider. Agape is a universal love. It is a love that comes from within us and extends out into the world. It is an unconditional love. This is metta. Metta is this unconditional love. It is not conditional or transactional love based on what I can get out of it, or will I receive that love back? Will I receive it in return? Metta is not conditional. It is not transactional. It is not about what I get from it. It is about what I give of myself. And so metta is this quality of innate, unconditional love that is not based on expectations. It is not based on receiving anything. It is something that simply arises, a quality that arises and comes forth from us simply because that is who we are. That is our true nature. It is our true self expressing itself in the world. This is metta. And a metaphor that is often used, and that metaphor appears in the Metta Sutta, is that metaphor of the love of a mother. The love of a mother, which is so often completely selfless and unconditional. There is perhaps no greater love than the love of a mother. It is a love that is first born and comes forth from a mother long before they have ever even laid eyes on their child. Long before they've laid eyes on their child, this love is born, and it is unconditional. It is absolutely beautiful. This kind of loving kindness is actually within each and every one of us, and it is the very heart of our practice. This unconditional love, this universal love, this love that arises from within and goes out into the world. And with the Brahmaviharas, like all of these four boundless qualities, loving kindness not only must include ourselves, but really it often begins with ourselves. This quality of loving kindness often really begins with ourselves. And so it is absolutely essential that we practice this quality of loving kindness with ourselves. It is essential that we nurture and that we offer loving kindness and compassion to ourselves as well as to others. But from my place of practice, we should understand that this is something that we do simultaneously. Offering loving kindness to ourselves and to others is something that we do simultaneously. We should not make the mistake of thinking that we have to wait to somehow be in this perfect state of love within ourselves in order to offer our love to others. We always have love to offer because love is always within us. Love is always within us. As His Holiness the Dalai Lama has often said, be kind whenever possible. It is always possible. I would likewise say, be loving whenever and wherever possible, because it is also always possible. And with that, I'd like to do, as I mentioned earlier, I'd like to lead a guided metta or loving kindness practice. And once again, this is, of course, a different form of meditation from Zazen, which is the meditation that we practice in Zen. This is our primary form of meditation is Zazen. Metta is another form of meditation, but it's a beautiful practice, one that I feel anyone can practice. And you don't have to be a Buddhist to practice metta, to cultivate loving kindness, or any of the Brahma Viharas. This is a practice that any one of us can really bring into our own personal meditation practice. And Gesho and I were having a conversation in the car on the way here, and she pointed out how sometimes we need a practice like metta during certain moments of difficulty, when we're experiencing anger or when we're experiencing some powerful emotional feelings. Metta is a beautiful practice to bring into our lives. And so I'd like to lead a guided meditation. This will be a relatively short one, but it's a practice that, unlike Zen, metta is a guided practice. It involves visualization and it involves silently repeating certain phrases to ourselves during this meditation. And so I'd like to begin, if everyone can kind of get comfortable in their seat, in their posture. Relax into your posture. Just allow the tension to drop away from your body. Relaxing into your seat. And bringing your attention to the natural rhythm of the breath. Nothing forced. Simply the natural rhythm of your in-breath and your out-breath. I invite everyone to bring to mind, to recall, or think of an occasion where you offered loving kindness or compassion, an act of loving kindness or compassion to someone else, or perhaps when someone else offered an act of loving kindness or compassion to you. It doesn't have to be anything grand, it doesn't have to be anything big. It can be a simple smile, a good morning, a hello. But simply bring to mind an occasion where you offered loving kindness to someone, or when someone offered loving kindness to you. Visualize that. And really notice how that makes you feel when you think of this loving kindness, this act of loving kindness. How it makes you feel. We begin the practice by offering loving kindness to ourselves. Seeing ourselves, holding ourselves in our own heart, mind. Breathing these phrases in and out, offering metta to ourselves. You can silently repeat the phrases to yourself. May I be safe, free from harm, danger, violence, or ill will. May I be safe. May I have mental happiness, clarity, and ease of thought. mental happiness. May I have physical happiness, good health, strength, vitality, free from illness or injury. May I have physical happiness. May I live with ease and well-being in all aspects of my daily life. Work, family, relationships. May I live with ease and well-being. Once again, offering loving kindness to ourselves. May I be safe. Have mental happiness. May I have physical happiness. May I live with ease and well-being. Invite everyone to bring to mind, think about someone that you love, someone that you're close to, someone that you care about, someone that you wish to offer loving kindness, you wish to offer metta to that person. Visualize that person in your mind, breathing in the phrases for that person. May you be safe. May you have mental happiness. May you have physical happiness. May you live with ease and well-being. Invite everyone to think of a more neutral person. Call to mind a more neutral person, someone that you perhaps know but may not know them well, someone that you perhaps encounter at times in your life. You may not be particularly close to them or know them that well, but you wish to offer that person loving kindness and compassion. Visualize that person, offering them metta, breathing in, breathing out the phrases. May you be safe. May you have mental happiness. May you have physical happiness. May you live with ease and well-being. ourselves a little more, I invite you to think of someone who perhaps is a bit difficult for you. Someone who perhaps you have some difficulty with. Someone who perhaps triggers you at times. Someone who maybe is challenging for you. Think of that person. Visualize them. Offering loving kindness and compassion to that person. Breathing the phrases in and out. May you be safe. May you have mental happiness. May you have physical happiness. Live with ease and well-being. And finally, we'll extend our circle of loving kindness and compassion to include all beings everywhere, especially those who are suffering through violence, oppression, through greed and hatred, to include the larger Sangha, the larger community, including ourselves, breathing the phrases in and out. May we be safe. May we have mental happiness. May we have physical happiness. May we live with ease and well-being. Bring your attention back to the breath. Back to Zazen, gently focusing on the breath. Now, as always, if anyone has anything they'd like to share or to comment this evening, either on the topic of metta, of loving kindness, or on the practice of metta meditation itself, how that felt for you, please feel free, anyone who'd like to share or comment.